Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Right, here we go. Today, I am delighted to welcome Azra Cecebegovic, founder and owner of Aspa Beauty and Azra Botanical Simplicity skincare brand, to talk about her career and the business changes along the way. Welcome, Azra. Can you please start with just taking a few minutes to introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
First of all, thank you very much for having me here. And I actually come from the country that does not exist any longer. I was born in former Yugoslavia in the part which is now called Bosnia and Herzegovina, country with the two parts, Bosnia and Herzegovina. I'm 56 years old. I will be 56 this October. And it's been a journey.
Right. First of all, that's a whole conversation in itself, actually. I was thinking, yes. You said that, to be from a country which no longer exists, how does that influence your identity and things like that? But we shall keep that one for another time. But yes. So you're currently living in the Netherlands, right? Did you go straight from Yugoslavia? Well,
no, I was actually, after I finished university in Sarajevo, I went to the Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, which is really like a prestigious school in England for plant science. And I was just about to finish my study there when the war broke out.
Right.
So I had to stay. And my sister came as well. She was then 17 years old. Oh. I then did my master's there. I started working in the UK. And I ended up working for Israeli company, a large export company from Israel. And that took me to Israel. And from Israel, I came to the Netherlands.
And you've been here a while now, right?
Yes. I started my my business in 2008. But prior to that, I worked for Dutch companies, in organic fruit, vegetables, flowers.
I was also thinking nowadays people are very much into plants and using nature and trying to move away from chemicals and also, sustainable things which are right for the environment instead of just creating more plastic pollution and everything. But I mean, back then that was quite avant-garde, to be studying plants. Right, now, thank you for your intro. And like I know a little bit more about you. I actually met Azra Yo with the Women's Business Initiative International here. So, I mean, the topic today is to hear more about your business journey, the choices you made, the things you learned, and the tips that you can share with us along the way. But I do have to start with something else, because when I just rang in with Azra this morning, she was saying, I'm still a bit tired because last night there were these awards in the Netherlands. So tell us about that. What award was it?
Thank you so much, Julie. It was the Dutch Beauty Award for 2022. And that was in Tuschinski Cinema in Amsterdam.
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely full different beauty industry, brands and journalists, influencers. And we were so lucky. We won two awards.
It's incredible.
The first award was we won silver, second place for our Aspa signature facial. The other award was third place for our brand, Azra Botanical Simplicity. So when you take into account that we started the brand just before Corona in February 2020.
Right.
And we're such a small niche brand and To be recognized
and win bronze over the whole of the Netherlands. I mean, the whole
jury is actually 10 independent beauty editors and journalists who take at least a year going around and trying different products and different treatments, and to be recognized like this. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and I mean, it's lovely to see how humble and surprised you are, because of course you know yourself that your brand is good, and you know this is what you've been working towards in from different areas all your life. But still, to have that wonderful, almost childlike amazement that somebody, the big boys out there recognize how good your brand is. So, I mean, well done for that. I mean, this is a lovely way to actually start our podcast.
Julie, what was really strange, it was a great feeling. I was sitting there, and they were projecting on screen like different brands that took a part. And then one of the brands was when I started Aspa, they really wanted me to work with them you know, because they really wanted to be on that particular location where I started my business.
Right.
And I was thinking, and I didn't really like some of the ingredients, and I decided not to go with them. And then suddenly I was there, I was thinking, am I really doing this?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. They were really the big company up there. Yeah. And you then made your little brand. And but that is such wonderful endorsement. And as I sort of basically even said before we started, I mean, in a way, that is a tip in itself, is believe in the right of what you're doing. Do it with all your heart.
Oh, yes.
And just trust that, you know, maybe one day you'll be recognized. And then suddenly out of the blue there, you were just, you know, sort of being there, and you won 2 awards. So I mean, that's a fantastic way to start. And I do, sorry for those of you listening out there, I do need to backtrack a bit, because we haven't even really said, you know, what industry she's in. As I was saying, this is for Aspa Beauty, a beauty salon that Azra started here in the Netherlands. But let's go back. So, you know, we're talking about choices, we're talking about business, we're talking about dare change. I mean, all of these are topics which are sometimes a little bit scarier in a way after 50, you know, you don't want to rock the boat too much, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing what needs to be doing. I mean, so what would you say was the red thread through the changes that you'd had?
Well, I think I always followed what I really enjoy, what I really want, what makes me happy.
Yes.
And I know it sounds maybe strange and childish to say that, but I always thought, okay, I changed careers many times. From being a music teacher to working in a corporate world to starting my own business. And when I remember the moment when I finally decided, I always wanted to have my own business, because I worked for big companies, and my last job for a big Dutch company, which is owned by Triodos Bank here in the Netherlands, my job was to make the startups, and then they would grow it or they will sell it and whatever. And I thought, you know, I'm doing this for somebody else.
Yes.
You know, why am I not doing this for myself?
Yeah.
And I was 30-something years old, 39, I think I was. I was on a holiday in the island of Hydra in Greece.
Oh.
And I was sitting there on the bench, and I said, now or never.
Right.
Just do it. And what can happen? You can succeed or you can fail. So what?
Wow.
And I took a plunge and I did it.
Which is true. I mean, we never really know, do we? And I mean, I suppose you also knew that, okay, you had a good job in corporate, but you could hopefully go back, perhaps not to that exact job. But I mean, I think it's if we know that we also have alternatives. I mean, sometimes I hear women who've, you know, been in the same job, let's say, for 30 years, you know, they're 50 something, they're realizing they're frustrated, that they feel that there's a lot of things that they haven't done with their lives, etc. But they're so used, of course, to their corporate life. And okay, there are bad sides.
People are used to the lifestyle.
That's it. And you're starting to think, well, yes, you know, what happens if in 15 years or so I retire with this good money?
Exactly.
And people are saying, don't be silly, don't leave it. So it takes an awful lot of courage to know what you stand to lose. But at the same time, I mean, I suppose, you know, if you're in that position of having had corporate for so many years, you just make sure that you plan to put a little bit aside as a cushion for if things do. So basically, so there we are. The sea inspired you to go back to nature. And so what was it that you decided you wanted to do?
Well, I always wanted to work with the skincare.
Right.
But I didn't really know how to get there. If I'm really honest with you, it's been a journey, you know, from working. I always wanted to be close to the plants, to the healthy food, or that my kind of.
That was your world. And that was in a time when it wasn't the color of the day. I mean, now, of course, it seems like, of course, everybody is. But back then, I mean, you're not prehistorical, but I mean, back then.
Remember, I went from conventional fruit and vegetables and flowers and incorporate into like a small startup company. And everybody was like, are you crazy? Why are you doing that? You know, it's organics. What is that? Then the company was rapidly growing. We were really growing fast. And they're now market leader, actually, in Europe. And I just recognized this is going to be the new thing. And right. It really fits what I
with what you believed in, had always yeah. believed in. Because, you yeah. know, when we say you said you studied plant science. So plant science, that's not particularly skincare. Then it's just the science of plants, which can be adapted to medicine.
No, I studied the botany, which is plant science, chemistry.
Right.
Yeah, plant physiology. But I also did the business part of it, like marketing and economics and that kind of stuff. I have like a different ideas and knowledge from different areas.
And so that all came together. I just one slight aparte. So music teacher, that was what you'd studied to be?
In the former Yugoslavia, I went to two schools, like a parallel school, like elementary school and the music school. And then I did the gymnasium and I did the music school, which is not extraordinary. Many, many people, if they wanted, if they were interested, they did it.
So you could earn a living being a music teacher then?
So when I did my studies at university in Sarajevo, I also worked for 4 years as a music teacher, yeah.
How fantastic. I had no idea about that. Oh, of course. Okay, right. So basically you're there sitting on the beach, age 39, and you think, okay, corporate, fine, all the advantages with it, etc., but it's now or never. So how did you then take it that next step? Because lots of us will sort of say, oh, right, you know, it is indeed now or never. I'm going to go for it or I'll regret this the rest of my life. But there's a big step, you know, into how do you start? You know, how do you, first of all, know what company you want, what you need to do it? What spurred you on?
Well, I knew I wanted to be related to beauty. And I knew I wanted, my final aim was to make a skincare brand. Okay. And I knew, you know, I need to get there. So I thought I really need to have a physical place. I need to have a clinic, salon.
Right.
To start with. And I made myself a plan. And so I first developed a salon in The Hague. And I looked around what is available in The Hague, what we want to be. And I always wanted to have it, that kind of personal touch, keep it very small, that it is every single time that somebody comes in, we make the treatment according to their skin needs.
Right. So it's not some big factory. It's very tailor-made.
It's not like a 20, you know, working there and everybody has the same procedure and everybody does exactly the same.
Okay.
The idea behind, you know. And I really wanted to start with my brand much earlier. But for the personal reasons, my mother became extremely ill and I spent a huge amount of time looking after her as well. And she passed away in 2017. And from then, I really...
Then you really went for it. But yeah. I mean, when you say you created a salon, so I mean, okay, you knew all about plants and you knew about marketing, etc., but you didn't know that much about skin.
Oh, yeah. It's always been a big passion of mine.
Okay,
I'm not somebody who wears lots of makeup. I was not interested in makeup, but in a healthy skin. And I also had a huge amount of problems with my own skin from age of 25 when the war broke out and I was in London and my sister arrived. But I think it's all through the stress and everything. I ended up in big, massive problems on my skin. And I went to the doctor and he put me on this Roaccutane thing. It's really, really dangerous for your skin as well, for your body as well. Mm. And it didn't help. It didn't help at all. And I knew I have to do things myself. And, you know, I really helped myself.
Right. You then looked into what you could do and how, etc., and that you implemented.
So that was always a passion of mine and always there, you know, really, I really want to do this. How I get there? What do I need to do?
Yes. Yeah, so that's right. It's thinking, okay, I don't know everything now, but I know what I want to have as an end product. But it's also, I suppose, the fact that, you know, as long as you surround yourself with people who do know, you know, we don't ourselves need to know everything.
Meaning, I did
you did.
Yeah, I did the training in London as well. So it was not just, okay, I'm stopping now with my job and I'm starting something new. It's been a period of, you know, training. And
so in parallel, you were already getting
preparation. Yeah, preparation
in order to do that. So, I mean, that as well is a good step as well, is that if you're not ready or, I mean, it wouldn't be very wise either maybe to just drop everything out of the blue. You know, you can start building in parallel to your corporate. Maybe you work a little bit less but at least you start getting, you do the research, you do the trainings which are necessary, start thinking about, you know, how you're going to get the funds together, I suppose. I mean, that's also something.
The funding was always, I did everything.
Right.
You know, I what I saved, then I invested, reinvested and this way till now. This is what has been the case for me.
So you you started, did you say ASPA in 2000?
Well, it's really funny. I started, not funny now, no? But I started in November 2008, and I think the big crisis came in. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start in a quite well-known place in The Hague. So I rented the place in Hotel de Zaan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, for those who don't live in The Hague or abroad, this is very prestigious.
And it, at that time, was absolutely full of corporate people working for Shell, this and that. So it was, you know, for a few months, the turnover was great. And then boom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I realized that I have to get out of that location because it's not serving the purpose why I was. And that I also need to make much more aggressive my own marketing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And networking. And that period between 2009 till 2012 was hard work.
Yeah, yeah. And you had to really believe, right? You had to, I mean, it's hard on your own, right? It's, you have to really define everything and you have to be different to others, but you have to be authentic at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a difficult period anyway. I mean, people were being a lot more careful with what they were doing with their money. And I mean, you know, some of us would say, well, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity, you know, a bit like you go and have your teeth cleaned and then you go and have your skin cleaned and look after it properly and learn what needs to be done. But at the same time, yeah, so that was a pretty harsh call for you. But again, you saw big. I mean, of course, my brain's ticking with tips and tricks here. I mean, what I first like is that you thought, well, you know what, if I'm going to start in the top location of The Hague. I mean,
absolutely.
Dare just even go to the Hotel des Indes and say, okay, never done this before, but here's my business and I think it would fit in perfectly here. I mean, that already takes a lot of guts and daring to dream big. Right?
Well, you have to dream big.
Yeah.
You want to get somewhere. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so then you set your place up and you were there for a while. You've moved a few times, haven't you? Because I know that
Twice, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah, first, well, I know both of those places, right.
Yeah, first I was in close to the Peace Palace.
Indeed.
Yeah, and then I moved in 2017. In February 2017, I moved to the current location.
To where you are now, also a very nice location and very conveniently situated five minutes from my house. Exactly. Okay, but I mean, we're talking about obstacles here as well. I mean, then you've also just had Corona. How did that impact your business?
It was very, very hard. The three lockdowns. The third lockdown, it was not fully locked down because we were allowed to do a certain medical treatments.
That's right.
Like lasering and things like that. However, you know, if people are not feeling comfortable to go into establishments and to do the treatments, you can be open. However, again, what I did, I focused myself on social media and communicating with the clients on the social media and communicating directly with the clients because I have a personal relationship with the clients. I know the clients. And what really helped me a lot is also doing online skin analysis and skin advice. And that was interesting to see that many, many people were interested to take that.
Yeah, because it was also a time where most of us had also more time on our hands as well. So, of course, we were still doing our work and lots looking after children and homeschooling and all that. But at the same time, you know, we wanted our life to go on as well. So that's when you would maybe be more interested to look up online and to get that treatment. So, I mean, here it also showed you have to, as a business owner, also be very flexible and creative, I would say.
Adaptable. You really have to. And that's really a beauty of a smaller business. That you can change things, adapt things very easily and very fast, but you have to think ahead all the time.
And have very strong foundation, I would think. You know, if you're secure and safe in who you are, what you stand for, then there's not all that panic about, you know, maybe I should do something else. Or did you ever think that you would do something else?
No. Since I started, no. Because maybe it's because also, you know, since 1992, since the war started, and I lost the country that I really loved so much, I always said to myself, there is no going back.
Yeah.
You have to go forward.
Wow. That's very powerful, actually, what you just say.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing to go back to, or not the what you knew, what the you knew as your country.
And when I first time went back to what is now Bosnia and Herzegovina, the people that I knew, they were not there any longer, or dead, or they moved, you know, refugees all over the world. So I did not recognize anything there, you know, there were some new people, because the place is not about the place, it's about the people, isn't it?
Yes,
you know, the city is about the people. So yeah, I knew in my head was always, there is no going back, you just have to think forward.
Right. And that's how you built up this strength and resilience, but actually from a position of pain. And I like that what you said a few times, you know, is you use the vulnerability to transform it into something good. So, I mean, you used everything in a way. I mean, maybe even the fact that you had to look after your mother meant you maybe did more research because you couldn't throw yourself into it straight away. The fact about your yes. There was no going back. So indeed, then you have this, well, there is no giving up. I have to go forward. And you mentioned it again at another moment, I can't remember, or probably about, you know, the 2008, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. If you Absolutely. Decide to define yourself by the good you're making out of it and not as the victim, as poor yeah. me, you know, I had this and then that happened and then this happened and there's nothing to do with me. We do always have a choice to say, okay, right, I'm not putting up with this, I didn't like it, wish it hadn't happened, what can I do with it to move forward?
Exactly like that.
It's how that resilience work? That you yeah. have now. So let's see, your last change, or that I know of at least, is that you then did finally get to creating your own brand. So you said that was in 2019 that your first product or brand, it's a whole
the first product was Intensive Serum. And okay. That took me, 3 years actually. In February 2020, I had a launch party in Aspa, and so it took about 3 years really to wow. create the first three products. We are now just about to create two. At the end of this year, two more will come out.
Fantastic!
And we have two serums, two cleansers. There is a cream, and there is also a toner, peeling, like a multitasking product.
And this is all plant based, then.
Yeah, it is actually cosmeceutical, which means it contains also things like, which okay. is, yeah, not a plant-based, yeah. Also peptides, which is a small little amino acids, protein type of a thing. Then there is also lots of plant extracts. Basically, what I did, I put inside ingredients that I've seen in the last 15 years of my work, right. and actually work.
Yes. You've based it on experience. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So you based it on experience, taking also your mindset that you want it to be plant-based and that you want it to be authentic, and that so that this ecological, you know, love that you've had right from the beginning, which pushed you to do plant science in the first place, that you've put all of that together. I mean, to me, it just feels so fulfilling to hear yeah. you say all of that, and to just today hear that last night you actually got awarded for it, and not any award. I mean, these are prestigious national awards. So, I mean, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Right now, share Great. Some of your magic. I mean, I hear you as a very strong woman who maybe not have been strong to start with, but who determined, you know, who has built this resilience, this adaptability, creativity, yeah. dreaming, you know, believing in her dream, but actually taking the steps to go through with it, because that's the big difference with most of us, right? We can have our dreams, but it stays a dream. We don't actually convert it into a goal where there are steps which need to be taken, etc. What tips would you have, you know, for people listening to you today and thinking, gosh, it must feel so good, you know, to be where you are now. What tips would you have for people who...
Well, you have to be prepared to work extremely hard.
Right.
I think it's one thing. The second thing is you really need to think about cash flow.
Yes.
It really is. Cash flow is the king. You know,
so you need
it becomes a hobby, you know, yes. if you don't have that under control. Then it's just a hobby. It's not.
So by cash flow, you mean you have to really ensure that this is going to be an income generating.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So not just it would be nice if every now and then one of my friends buys one of my soaps. Exactly. But okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be prepared to sacrifice your time and your holidays and your lifestyle. I think that's really what puts many people off.
Yes.
And don't make too many calculations. What if this? What if that? Just do it.
You have to, just do it.
You know, if you just keep thinking about things.
We would never do anything, would we?
Exactly.
I mean, to be honest, we would never do anything. And if we thought about all the dangers outside, we wouldn't even stand up from our chair in case we fell down the stairs or whatever. I mean, we can't live that way. That's not a healthy way to live. And I mean, I also feel that the risks and the falling down are actually part of the process. I mean, when you think of it, we learn so much more from our mistakes and from the horrible.
I remember when Corona came and so many people became upset and depressed and this and that. And I said to myself, I remember this, I was in Aspa on my own, and I'm thinking, you know, you survived 1992, you can survive anything.
Exactly.
This is how I always think, you know?
Yep. And that hopefully will be something that we will start building as well. Because for those who haven't had it, we've all had this little cushy life. You know, none of us have known war in our lifetime. For some of us, even our parents have not. You know, we're at this placid, you know, consumerist environment around us where we you know, it's really quite scary. And I mean, to be honest, I'm not going into politics here, but looking at the Ukrainians at the moment, there's an awful lot to be learned by this resilience, this fighting spirit, but still staying, I mean, the refugees that I know around me here are still, you know, full of life and hope. They hurt and they're angry, but there still is that resilience there. And I mean, I think we could do with having a little bit more of that oomph, right? Instead of just the first little breeze, everybody lies down and moans and doesn't do anything to fix it. So we can learn a lot from that. Azra, thank you so much. I mean, it has been absolutely wonderful to have you in particular today, you know, where finally, you know, this long journey, and I'm very intrigued to come and see about your brand. I mean, this sounds, I can imagine you a bit like this wonderful scientist, you know, putting all your little stuff in together and turning the pot and checking it out to make us beautiful and healthy and glow. And that's what we need at 50 plus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So now let's make sure that in my show notes, let's put to make sure that we have, so your salon is called Aspa. Your brand is Azra Botanical Simplicity Skincare. Do you also sell that online? Because a lot
we have a website, azrabotanicalsimplicity.com.
Right.
And also on aspadirect.com, which is for the skin clinic website. We also sell products there.
Perfect. And you know, you mentioned before, I was just thinking, you know, for those who don't have the chance to be able to come to The Hague, do you still also do those online scans?
Yes, of course we do.
Well, so there we are. So anybody, wherever they are, who's interested in finding more from somebody who is full of integrity, expertise, I mean, I think that's wonderful. And I will certainly be there soon. So Azra, thank you very much. Enjoy that award. Believe it. You know, really shout it out to the world, because, you know, you really deserve this. As a woman, I would say as well, a very, you know, you set this through. And that's a great example for all of us to have around us. And I will be popping round soon. For the rest of you out there, I hope you have been taking notes of this amazing journey that Azra has been on and gathered some of the tips. I mean, being prepared to work hard and sacrifice. Yes, that is part of that. And for that, you need to have that burning motivation and passion in order to see you through that sacrifice. But it's well worth it. Look at Azra. You heard that today. She's there holding two awards and very much at it properly. Cash flow. You know, if you want this to be more than a hobby, you really need to think properly. Maybe start in parallel. Like we said before, you know, keep your money on the side and look at what needs to be done. You know, what do you need to study? What do you need to learn in order to make it work? Trust your instinct is also something that I heard Azra say, and dare do those new things. We're 50, we're fabulous, and there's a whole world out there for us. So let's go for it. Thank you, everyone, and speak to you again this time next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.